Today's Valentine's Day. Yeah, I guess so. That's what they told me. On Valentine's Day, we remember those we love, right? Don't we?
Amen.
Amen. I wonder if y'all were dead or something. Maybe instead of Valentine's Day, I ought to have a funeral service. But we love things, and we want to talk today about I love my church. Amen? How many of you love this church? All right. How many of you joined this church in the last 20 years? All right. 15 years. Raise your hand. Been 15 years. Praise the Lord. So we got a lot of new people in our church. A lot of new people in our church. In 1985, I came here, and we met down in Bronner Hall. Y'all know where that's at? Oh, it's bad shape down there. Oh. But we had to set up tables every Sunday morning. Had to set up chairs every Sunday morning. They had bingo and stuff in there on Saturday night, and they smoked, and it was bad. We'd spray all kinds of deodorant and set out chairs, and we'd have church service. And I think there was about 30-something when I came here, and we would have church service, the fire alarm go off, volunteer firemen rush in, we just have to stop church. That went on for about 2 years, and God blessed us with the building next door, a children building now, was our first sanctuary. And how many of you was here at that time? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right. We've had a lot of turnover, had a lot of turn-ins. We had a lot of funerals around here. A lot of people have gone by through our path and crossed our lives. I love this church. Back then, in 1985, we sat down and talked about giving to grow. And you who are new to giving to grow, I'm going to share with you today about that. You know, giving to grow was to help pay off the buildings. They told us it couldn't be done. The Lord blessed. We paid that building off in 3 years, paid for all this land around here in 3 years. God just blessed the church tremendously. It grew from, I think we had about 80 charter members in December of 85 when we built or started our, as a church. Exactly, was a mission for a while. And then by 87, we built that building. By 1994, get these dates right, this building cost a little over $800,000 in 1994. And we paid it off in a record amount of time. That building over there cost about $1.5 million, and we're still paying on that. And praise God, I still love this church, and I believe you love this church because you joined this church. If you're a member here today, you ought to be proud of what God has done in this church. And all the work that's going on, all the mission churches. We've started mission churches all around the world, literally. We've got churches in Colorado that we supported for years, and Las Vegas, or Reno, Vegas, Nevada. Okay, Nevada. And I'm not sure we haven't started some different places. In Oregon, we preached. In New York, we preached. South Dakota, we preached and went up there on mission trips. Tennessee, those many states that this church has supported. We supported missions in China and Haiti and Mexico and India, Ethiopia. Oh, man, Kenya, Zambia, we've supported. Philippines, we've supported missionaries. We're supporting children in Haiti, getting their educations. The Lord has blessed in a tremendous way. I just thank God for all that He's done in the life of this church since it started in 1985. And I believe today we're talking about happy giving. I'm still excited about what's done. I don't want you to think that I'm talking about tithing because we're in a mess financially. We're not. I'm talking today about tithing because God's Word says if we're going to be obedient in all things, we need to learn to tithe too. We need to learn to be a happy giver. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it's hard to see with these glasses, I guarantee you. They're supposed to be good, but they're not. It may be the way the light's shining, I don't know. It says, listen, Paul says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus that said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, today we just thank you for the opportunities that we've had in the life of this church. And Lord, as we think about I love my church today, how much we really love you. Because it's all about you. It's not about this church. It's not about anything but seeing souls brought into the kingdom of God, lifting up the name of Jesus. And we give you praise for it's Christ's precious name that he asks these things. Amen. And I'm not going to follow these notes today. I've already gone through some. I'm just going to tell you about how you are to give and being a happy and a cheerful giver. I want you to know that the Lord wants you to be happy in your Christian life. So many people say that as Christians, we can't be happy. But as Christians, I believe since I became a Christian in 1979 that I'm one of the happiest people on the face of this planet. I tell you what, the Lord has blessed, and a whole lot of people think, well, it's more blessed to receive than to give. Well, I don't find it that way. When I hoard things, when I try to keep things to myself, then I'm not really happy. It's so happy. I'm so happy knowing that I can give. And these little children here will understand the Word of God because we give. I'm so happy to see souls being saved in Africa, in Haiti, and all around the world because we give to those causes. Man, I tell you, we went over to Kenya in 2000. Some of y'all went with us, and we saw 19,000 people saved. We still support a pastor over there and the work that goes on there. And he writes me back just about every month. I tell you what, he's looking. We support him as he ministers to people, and he tells me that 300 or 400 were saved here in revivals there. People are being baptized because our money goes to missions, and that takes care of those missionaries over there. His life has literally been improved since our church has been giving to those causes. We see the Filipino guy come here once a year and talk about his church and how it's blessed because you give. And folks, it makes me happy to know that when Christ comes, he's found a church in East Texas that is giving to the cause of Christ, that people might be saved. God says it's blessed to give, better than to receive. And that blessed means happy. You know, I believe we've got a happy God. He loves giving. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever should call on his name shall be saved. If you're going to be a happy giver this morning, the first thing you need to do is first give yourself to God. Now, if you haven't given yourself to God, you're not going to be very happy. You see, you've got to give yourself to God to be a happy giver. When we give ourselves to God, then we become part of the body of Christ. The moment you ask God to come into your life, why do you need to do that? Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1979, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Oh, I surrendered it to the ministry of Christ. I had trusted him as my Lord and Savior. We were doing pretty good, I thought. Rhonda and I, we were living in Rusk, and we were doing well. But God had called me into the ministry while I was in North Dakota in a revival, leading singing in a revival. And when I was leading singing, I knew that God wanted me to be preaching the gospel. So that meant coming back to home and telling our church, I'm surrendering to the gospel ministry. I'm going to be a preacher. That meant I was going to have to go back to school and probably sell out what I had. That meant giving up things. But in all that giving up, those things, earthly things, I knew that God was going to bless because I was happy inside. I had become so miserable doing what I was doing. God made me that way. I used to love doing what I was doing, but I become miserable. Even my brother who worked with me said, listen, Booney, what's wrong with your life? And I said, while I was in North Dakota, I'd surrendered to preach. And he said, why aren't you doing it? You're not happy doing this anymore. So I surrendered to preach. You see, God wants us happy in our life. And the first thing we need to do is to know Christ. Know Him as our Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, the first thing I want you to do is to give yourself to Him. Say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I want you to come into my life. And the Bible says if you really believe that, you believe that He died for your sins upon Calvary's cross, that His precious blood was shed for you, and it washes you white as snow, He will come in. He came into my life in 1975. I surrendered to the ministry in 1979. But that moment He came into my life, it changed my life. I used to be walking towards the world. Now I was walking towards Christ. My life was not my own anymore. I had surrendered it to Christ. It was His to do what He wanted to. I surrender all, Lord, I surrender all. Literally, did He know He had a place in Gun Barrel for me to come and preach. That took a little working out, but in time, it took 3 years for God to get me here. 3 years for God to get me here, and He had to kick me in the seat every once in a while to do it. But He did, and He got me here. And let me tell you something, I have been happy ever since. In Christ Jesus. Somebody asked me when I was going to retire. I don't guess I will retire. I don't find it in the Bible somebody said to retire. You just preach and preach and preach, and old preachers just go out and pastor. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. But you know what? Living for the Lord is happy giving. Giving through what God has given me. Giving the life. Give yourself to God. The Bible says we are to give ourselves first to the kingdom of God. God wants you part of that kingdom. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So if you're lost this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you come and trust Him as your Lord and Savior this morning? That is the first step in being a happy giver. You've got to know Jesus Christ and the free pardons of sin. Then, as a church, once you've joined in with God's family, the kingdom of God, and He's placed you here, I believe, in this church so that we can work in this community. You see, we're part of the kingdom of God once you accept Jesus Christ. Everywhere, all over, believers together are part of that kingdom. But this is the local church, the place that God has planted me and you to work from. And He says that we must learn to give so that we can be happy. And to be obedient with God, He says we need to first give of ourselves and then give of our offerings to God. They gave themselves first to God, then they gave of their offerings to God. Let me tell you something. Our substance. Now, in the Old Testament, many Christians gave. 38 times of parables are used in the New Testament. 16 of those parables, Jesus Christ talks about giving money. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. Let me just read it for you just a moment. I want you to listen to it. I've read it many times in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, and I have given orders to the churches of Galatia that you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. Listen to what God says, how we ought to give on the first day of the week. Guess what this is? Sunday. We celebrate Sunday because it was the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the first day, the Lord's day. It's a day of new beginnings in our life. The day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Upon the first day, our giving should be to the Lord. It ought to be systematically. He says, lay aside that first part. I believe it's 10% in the Old Testament. I believe 10% of our giving is our starting place, folks. I've heard preachers sit up and preach, and I may have been guilty myself in my earlier days of preaching. Say, listen, if you can't give 10%, just start at 5%. And what I'm doing there was telling you to be disobedient. And if I told you that, I'm sorry. We ought to be obedient to God, and he says 10%. Now, folks, that's very easy to figure. If you make $100, that's $10. If you make $1,000, that's $100. You see, that's very easy to figure. 10% goes to the Lord. And we are to lay it aside, give it first to the Lord. You see, when we give first to the Lord and be obedient, it tells him that we're not selfish in our giving. We're giving to God everything that we have and rely upon him. You see, don't think that you can't do it. The old devil will come knock on your door and say, well, you can't give 10%. You've got all kinds of bills to pay. Trust God. Let me tell you something. We went from making thousands of dollars to making no dollars when I surrendered to preach. I thought, Lord, where are we going to get the money to pay bills? We had house payments. We had two little boys. And y'all know how expensive little boys are, little girls are. But you know, it was either trust God or not. It's either be obedient to God or not. And Rhonda and I chose in our life, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to commit our substance to the Lord. And we gave. Even when we didn't have a whole lot, we gave that 10%. You know, God blesses. I've told the church many times, one of our boys had a lot of allergies. I took him to the doctor, and I didn't know how in the world we were going to pay doctor bills. And I told Rhonda, I said, now, when that doctor sends that bill, you be sure to pay it before we run out of money. He never sent a bill. And I got to the word, and boy, it's adding up, it's adding up. I've took that little dude up there several times, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, it's adding up. Finally, I said, Doc, listen, I need you to send me a bill so I can pay it. And he said, didn't you surrender to preach? And I said, yeah. He said, there'll be no bills. As long as you're doing the Lord's work. Oh, man, you're talking about a boy just wanted to cry. But that's God, folks. That's God working. Man, he sent us a nice church to go to, a loving bunch of people who saw that we were taken care of. We didn't miss any meals. Oh, sometimes they got very few and shallow. But, you know, I can stand and miss a few meals. But God took care of our clothing. God took care of our house. God will provide. Trust him. Trust him. He says in Malachi. Might say to Malakoff over there. I don't know. He says to Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You know what the storehouse is? That's the church. You bring your tithe to the church, that 10% to the church. You give to the church. You know what the church does? Man, I just told you. I know we have all kinds of bills, but in our church, let me tell you something. You know what the budget of this church is? Most of you don't. And I'm just telling you, so don't be shocked. Last year, it was $791,528, the budget for this church. We didn't raise that. Our giving was $688,625. That's $102,000 short, but you know what? God provided. God provided, and we paid every bill in this church. This year, our budget is, we've dropped it $41,000. It's $750,000. Folks, we need to reach that. I don't worry about it. I know God will provide. I tell Brother Dub, you just keep adding up those figures. They will add up. Last year, year before last, it was like this. I didn't know where we was going to get the money. I was beginning to saying, God, what are you going to do? But did you know someone sold some property? And he come in one night and said, Preacher, I want to talk to you. And I thought, man, I'm fixing to get a talking to. And he said, no, this is good. We sold some property, and I want to give you some money for the church. And he said, okay. And he gave me a check. It was blank. He said, can you write a $100,000 check? I said, can I? I didn't even know how many zeros $100,000 were, but I wrote it. That's how God works. Folks, God is a great God. The Bible says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he even owns the hills, man. We've got a great God. And let me tell you something. He's got the money to finance and support the work in this church. I once said, we got good news and bad news. The good news is we've got the money. The bad news is it's still in your pocket. If you're visiting with us today, I'm just kidding mainly. These people know that I love the Lord. I'm not trying to rip anybody off. I'm just trying to tell you we need to be obedient this year to God's work. Everybody gives the same. Whether you have $10 and give just a little, or $100 and give 10, it doesn't matter. God will bless the short giver as much as the one that got a lot to give. If you're obedient to God's work, if that's what God has prospered you, if that's the way God is leading, you do your part with what you have and be faithful to that, and God will bless you. There's missions in Africa and Haiti, in the Philippines, in Mexico, in China. Like I've said, this church has many ministries with these children. Our ministries in the children department and other departments have hurt in this last year because we didn't have the money that we've had in the past. And we've had to cut some things out. But let me tell you something. You saw all these children here. We will make sure that they hear the word of God. Amen. We will make sure that you parents that bring these children, they're loved, they're nurtured, they're given the word of God. They will learn the word of God in this church if you will bring them and help. Do your part as teachers, as workers in the church. If we do our part, then the ministry will carry on like it is. I thank God for Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas stepped in. Brother Dan retired and left that vacant. Brother Thomas stepped in, and we cut Brother Dan's salary, and we don't have a salary at all for Brother Thomas, but he just does the work. I thank God for men like that. I thank God for his helpers and those on the committee that said, hey, preacher, we'll make sure that they get to go to camp. We'll make sure that they learn the word of God. You know, that's what it takes in a church, working together for the glory of God. Folks, we want you to work in this church. We don't want you just to join and sit idly by. We want you to give of yourselves to to the Lord and give of your substance to the Lord and be obedient to God in the work of God. And if you'll do that, man, God will prosper you. The starting point is 10%. Every one of you got a little card like this. Did you get a card like this when you came in? Should have been your bulletin. Look at that little card real just a moment. Every year since I've been here, we have taken this card and filled it out. I love my church. And because it says on it, because of our commitment to be obedient to God's word concerning giving our tithe, I want you to take this card home, sit down with you and your husband, and I want you to pray about your tithe. That's what you make, 10% of that. And if you would, don't sign your name on the card. Just says, we will endeavor to give, and put your 10% down on there. Reason I'm asking you to do is this. In June, our budget committee will start working again, planning our budget for the next year. If we know about what the tithe is going to be, we can work out a more accurate budget. You see? So you pray about that. You take this home, and you fill it out, and you bring it back next Sunday, and give it to, drop it in the offering plate, or leave it in your Sunday school class, take them up, and give them to Brother Dub Williams. Okay, would you do that? And then we've had so many join our church over the past years. We haven't had a Giving to Grow banquet in a while. Right down below that, in order to provide funds towards the retirement of the building debt, we endeavor to give, in addition to your tithe, whatever. Maybe it's $5 a month. You'd be surprised how much that adds up. Maybe you can give $10 a week extra above your tithe. Whatever you can give, would you fill that in right there and put down there weekly, monthly, or yearly? You see, we've got people in our church already doing that. I've been doing it since 1985. I've been giving so much over our tithe to the retirement of this debt. That's how come we paid that building off in 3 years. That's how come we paid this building. People giving above and beyond the call. And let me tell you, they still give the missions. Your offerings are different from your tithe. The tithe goes to electricity, lights, staff paid, all the education deals, equipment in the office, everything you see in this building. Man, it takes a lot to operate. I think the highest thing we've got, probably besides the staff and things like that, is the electric bill, the water bill, and the note payment, and then keeping our building up, the building and grounds. We want this place to look pretty. We want it to look like it's God's church. I love it. I want it to be kept clean. I want it to be looking nice. We've had volunteers already to paint the parking lot, stripe it. Man, people around here are the most giving people I know of. You love your church. Would you put down what you can give? And don't sign your name on the card. We're not out for names. We just want to know an estimate of what comes. So, take that home. You pray about it. And you give according to how God has prospered you. Starting with your tithe, folks. 10%. Now, if you've never tithed before, this is a good time to say, okay, Lord, I'll do that. I will trust you and do that. Okay? They gave of themselves. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, would you come trust him as Lord and Savior and be a happy person in Christ Jesus? Oh, the joy of knowing him as your Lord and Savior. Then they gave of their substance as God has blessed them. We've talked about that. And then they gave something else. Now, what else, preacher, can you give? Man, you're asking a lot about giving. No, this is what I want you to do. Tell somebody about Jesus. You see, the early church, they were under persecution. They were poor. They were being persecuted daily because of Christ. And yet, they evangelize the whole known world. Man, just think about it. What a church in a community like this could do if you would just go tell the story of Jesus. Tell the story of Jesus. Tell the story of Jesus wherever you go. Now, how do you do that? Simply by what Christ means to you. I've told you already what he means to me. I've given my life to him. I've trusted him, not only with my heart, with my pocketbook, and everything about me. And that's what we need. We need people to surrender everything to Jesus. And wherever you go this week, tell somebody, you know what the Lord is doing in my life? And just share with them what the Lord's doing in your life. Maybe you have a friend over for coffee and they don't know Jesus Christ. Or even if they do know Jesus Christ, hey, say, hey, you know what? I'm so happy in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what he's doing in my life. And just share with people the story of the gospel. My son's a missionary over in China. They're going through some hard trouble right now. They're going through some tough times. But you know what? He sent a letter out to all of us, I think, on the email. Pray for him. Pray for his wife and his children. They've got to do a lot of work. And they're going into some places that are they're persecuted. But they're surrendered to the ministry. They're surrendered to God. And we help them. You help them as a church. Pray for them. My friend over in Kenya, he's persecuted every day by the Muslim community. Don't know what it is, folks. Our preacher in Mexico, we can't go down there anymore because the drug cartels said they would kill him. He's still preaching the gospel. He's still preaching the gospel. Would you do that? Pray for our missionaries. Pray for our church. Pray to God that he would do a work of grace in our life. Now, if you want to come to know him this morning, we're going to sing a verse or two of invitation. If you want to give your life to Christ this morning, all you have to do is come. Boop, just throw that Bible down. Come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want to be a happy person in my life. I want to give because you so loved me that you gave your only begotten Son. Would you do that? Maybe you just need to come and pray and say, God, show me what you want me to do. Then you do that. Maybe you're looking for a church home. Let me tell you something. This church may not be the perfect church, but I tell you what, this church teaches, preaches, and lives for Jesus Christ and no other. If you want a church that teaches the Bible, believes the Bible, you may not like it when I tell you the truth about it, but it's gospel. You come and join. I'd be glad to have you. I'd be glad to share with you how you can join our church. Would you stand?